on this week's edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. The boys will talk Colts basketball. They'll also discuss NFL news and a look ahead to the playoffs. And they'll also look at the college football playoff and a little bit more. We're ready to do it. Let's go. I hope everybody had a good winter recess, great little break off of school, but we're back for another edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. I'm Douglas Latuca, alongside Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, Mike Garafa, and Ryan Dixon in studio, our weekly guest. We love having him in here. And a lot to cover. 2 weeks off, haven't spoken a lot about sports, and let's get right into it. Boys basketball, doing pretty well to start the season.
Yeah, just want to start off by saying Happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Happy New Year.
And thanks for joining us here. And boys basketball team, 6-2, coming off a tough loss against Glenn. They still got Jalen C., the leading scorer on the team with 16.5 points. And they do have a very tough game today. They're playing home against Islip, I believe, at 4 o'clock. Islip is 4-0 in the league. Hills West is 3-1 in the league. So that'll be a big game for now and come playoff seeding. Should be a great one, and I'm excited to see the boys play. We'll get out, do a broadcast soon. I think we're aiming in a couple weeks for about the, two or three games.
Yeah, I think we're looking for the 24th.
Yeah, we've had some new equipment to set up, so sorry for the delays, but we'll definitely get out there ready to broadcast the game, and we will also broadcast some girls' basketball games. And, Bri, I think you guys have some stuff on that.
Sure, the girls have been playing well lately. They're 3-1. They won their last game over the break. At Sachem East, it was a 48-37 victory. Top scorers in that game, Alexa Hinkey had 17 points, Emily Ross at 11, Kayla Robertson with 10. It was just a great showing, a good team win. And they're now looking to take on Islip at Islip. That game is today at 5:45. You should go check it out if you'd like. A little bit of a road trip, but it's going to be worth it. Going to be a good game today.
Yeah, so as we head into the new year, both squads will look to make about a month and a half push. They've got games going up until that February break and hopefully get into that playoff spot positioning where hopefully they can make some noise into the playoffs. Professional level NFL playoffs starting and some great games on the slate. What do we got? We got games this Saturday. Let's talk Indy and Houston. Really enticing game here, 4:35 start. Both teams playing pretty well, getting themselves into the playoffs. Indianapolis finished at 10-6, Houston 11-5. Both quarterbacks, huge spotlight players in this one.
Yeah, before we dive into this one, I just want to say how excited I am for this wild card weekend. One of the best or most anticipated ones that we'll see. I think all four games have the potential to be great. I'm hoping that's right. And going into this game, it's really star power all over the place. Luck has been outstanding this year, working his way into the MVP discussion. Probably not going to win, but definitely a top five candidate. You got Deshaun Watson getting his first taste of the playoffs. He's been excellent this year, over 4,000 passing yards, and as we know, always a threat on the ground. And I'm really excited to see the best wide receiver in the game go up against the Colts, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, before the year, wasn't really talked about as the number one, the premier wide receiver in the league, but he's really been unbelievable this year. 115 receptions, 1,572 yards, and 11 TDs. He's just been excellent. I'm excited to see him go against that Colts defense that has been playing pretty decent as of late.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is my guy. I don't know if there's anyone out there that can guard this guy one-on-one. He'll go up and get it. He'll beat you on a route, and everything that touches this guy's hands is caught. He has not had a single drop this entire season. He has 115 receptions and zero drops. It's incredible. I don't think that's ever been done in NFL history before. He's an absolutely dominant force, but that, as you just said, Ben, that Indianapolis defense is vastly improved from the defense that we've seen in the past few years. The addition of Darius Leonard to the draft, the top rookie, he probably will win Defensive Rookie of the Year this year. He leads that team in tackles, and he's been an absolute beast, definitely a Pro Bowl snub.
Yeah, it's a joke.
An absolute joke.
Agreed.
And just some things that they do on the other side of the ball. That Indianapolis defense, very improved, as you said, is very improved, but that offense has always been great when Andrew Luck is out there. And they can run the ball, they can throw the ball, but they're sixth in the league in passing right now. Andrew Luck is absolutely tearing it up. It's going to be such an interesting game. I love it's two of the hottest teams in the NFL. We all talked about the The Texans' 9-game winning streak earlier. Well, the Colts have won 9 of their last 10, so they're very hot too. And just coming into the playoffs, couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah, the Colts' defense has definitely come a long way. They haven't allowed over 27 points since giving up that 42 to the New York Jets. It's crazy to think they started 1-5
with a loss
and the position
Jets.
Where they're in now. Frank Reich definitely could be coach of the year in the NFL. He's done an awesome job, and I'm really excited for this game.
Yeah, got to look out for the Colts. Eric Ebron emerging as a legit target, a huge tight end, great pass catcher. Struggled in Detroit early on in his career, was a high draft pick. He's figured it out with Andrew Luck. Could be a spotlight guy going up against that Houston defense. T.Y. Hilton, also a guy that you could think about at the wide receiver position. We're talking DeAndre Hopkins. T.Y., the number one guy for Andrew Luck at that spot. So look for him to make an impact. And the divisional clash. This is what you like to see in a wild card matchup. Two teams from the same division. Indy sneaking in at that wild card. Houston winning the division by one game. It's exactly what you expect, and it should be a showdown in Houston.
Well, with T.Y. Hilton going back to that, against the Texans this year, he actually has 13 catches for 314 yards. So that means that he's definitely doing pretty well against those Texans. He's going to be a guy to look out for.
13 catches, 314 yards. That isn't bad.
He was a beast for my fantasy team this year. And just one more thing to say about this game. The Colts, obviously, you know the Texans run D with J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney. They'll give the Colts fits, but Marlon Mack has really been a revelation here late in the season, and
I agree.
Putting up great numbers for the Colts. He had 119 yards and a touchdown in their pretty much playoff game on Sunday night at Tennessee. Pulled off a 33-17 win. So I'm not going to say that's the X factor, as Luck's obviously going to probably throw the ball 50 plus times in this game. But the Colts are going to have to establish some sort of run game if they want to hang in on the road in Houston.
Yeah, Indianapolis is 8th in the league in rush yards. And Houston is 8th in the league on offense, rushing the football as well. So one of them has to give. We'll see what goes on. If Indy could stop that run, Lamar Miller could be a factor as well. So a lot of guys to look out for in the 4:25 game on Saturday. We'll move on to another interesting one. Seattle traveling to Dallas. Dallas won the NFC East. Seattle snuck in. In that 5th spot, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, similar quarterback styles, and both running backs, Chris Carson, Ezekiel Elliott, solid players as well, leading their offenses this year.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. The Seahawks are the number one rushing offense in the league. They're averaging 160 rushing yards per game, and Chris Carson has been an absolute beast down the stretch this year. The guy's been getting the ball, and he's been doing everything he can with it. He was one of the MVPs for me in the fantasy playoffs
totally. This
year, definitely. He's absolutely showed out these last few weeks, and he's leading the top rushing attack in the league, which is interesting because he's going against maybe the best running back in the league this year because he led the league in rushing yards in Ezekiel Elliott. So it's going to be such an interesting matchup. Both defenses fly to the football. It's going to be very fun to watch if you're a defense guy. And then the passing game, like you said, with the two similar quarterbacks, Russell Wilson has flown directly under the radar this year. He's not been seen as the MVP candidate that maybe he should be because of guys like Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he could compete with Mahomes and Brees or whatever in the MVP race, but he has had an incredible year and maybe would have won it if he did this last year or whatever. That's a debate for another time.
Yeah, 35 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions.
Exactly, that's a ratio you love. But if this game was in Seattle, I picked Seattle right away. They beat Dallas at home earlier this season, but it's in Dallas, so it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be grinded out, which team can run the ball better.
Well, one thing to look out for, the Seattle running backs and going against those Cowboys linebackers. The Cowboys linebackers they've really been doing pretty good. I mean, Dallas has only allowed 100 yards this season in rushing, and it's only happened 6 times. So, you know what? They've got to try to take advantage of that and try to get into something that's not going to be very easy to do.
Yeah, and it's noteworthy that these two teams did play earlier in the season. Week 3 in Seattle, Seattle came away with a 24-13 lead. I think it's safe to say both teams are different now. The game's in Dallas. Obviously, both teams playing their best football this season. And Dak Prescott in that game, really not impressive. 2 interceptions, only 168 passing yards. And you look at what he's done recently, especially that game in Week 17 at the Giants. Didn't really mean anything for him, but great comeback win. 387 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's been special. You look at the emergence of a guy like Blake Jarwin undrafted former walk-on. He's a tight end. Maybe look for him to match up against Bobby Wagner in that game. Could be
some studs all
some
over
studs,
the field.
Some studs all over the field. I wouldn't necessarily call Jarwin a stud yet, but
I'm Bobby Wagner though.
Bobby Wagner's definitely
he's
a stud.
An absolute beast.
He's a future Hall of Famer in my opinion,
no doubt.
But I'm really excited to see these running backs run the ball. Chris Carson has been unbelievable for the Seahawks this year. One of the scrappiest players in the league, and of course you got Zeke. You got to just keep feeding him if you're Dallas, and I'm really excited for this game. Dallas favored by 2. I mean, I think that's right on target. It's going to be a close game, field goal, and I'm very excited.
Agreed.
Yeah, one more thing I wanted to bring up. Mikey Stats, you brought up the defense of the Dallas Cowboys. It's been unbelievable this season. Those linebackers, Leighton Van Der Esch, Jalen Smith, they've just been incredible. They're averaging under 100 yards rushing per game, so it's going to be so interesting to see what this top rushing attack does against maybe the best rushing defense in the league. It's going to be incredible.
You spoke about Van Der Esch. You also have to look at him on the injury report. Got a little bit banged up in that Week 17 game. Obviously, they have Sean Lee as now the number 3 linebacker. Tough to even see him as a number 3. The guy's a legit player in the league.
I mean, he's been a stand-up guy throughout it all, though.
Agreed, totally.
Been, sitting back to see Leighton Van Der Esch develop.
Take over.
And the guy just can't stay healthy with Sean Lee. He's been incredible when he's out there, but when he's not out there a lot, so... But he will be out there this week, so we're going to be looking forward to that.
Yeah, so we'll check the status of Van Der Esch as the game approaches. Another interesting part to this game, the wide receivers. Not a lot of big-name guys. Obviously, Amari Cooper on Dallas has emerged. He's got to get back to his middle-of-the-season form right when they acquired him. Another guy to look out for, Doug Baldwin. Had a really tough start to the season, and in about... The last 2 or 3 games, he's really figured it out. Was definitely a presence against Kansas City, in their win, and another guy, Tyler Lockett, as well. So Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, looking to make an impact at the receiver position as Amari Cooper looks to take on that responsibility for Dallas. So those are your Saturday games: 4:35 Indy and Houston, 8:15 Seattle and Dallas. AFC wildcard, NFC wildcard. Sunday, they start off with the AFC wildcard, the 1 o'clock game, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Baltimore Ravens, a rematch of a game played a few weeks ago where Baltimore beat the Chargers in LA. So it should be an interesting one here. Baltimore playing great defensively. Lamar Jackson emerging as he could be a future star in this league. And this one's really got the make of to be a really good game.
Yeah, one thing worth noting is that the Chargers are 8-0 on the road this year and 4-4 at home, which is extremely, you know, weird. You don't see that a lot, but it happens, I guess, when you play in a soccer stadium. So
that's true.
So the Chargers have been incredible on the road, so it's going to be fun in this one. But one thing definitely to point out is that Baltimore defense, they've been playing incredible. They're number one in the league right now, actually, averaging less than 18 points per game allowed. It's unbelievable, honestly, what they do over there. Probably the most physical team in the league is Baltimore, and that's just how they do it. They do it with defense and running. They run the ball. They're second in running right now in the league in rushing yards per game with 152 rushing yards per game. So they get it done. They grind out wins, and that's what happens when you have a quarterback that can run the ball 20 times in a game, and they do it by committee in the backfield. Kenneth Dixon, Gus Edwards, they like to spread the love over there in Baltimore. I mean, it's maybe the best team in the AFC in the Chargers for the regular season, but Baltimore may be the hottest team in the AFC. So it's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, should be a great game, and it's worthy to note that game in LA a couple weeks ago wasn't even that close. Baltimore ended up winning 22-10. Was a highly entertaining game until the end. But you look at Baltimore, for me, the X factor is Lamar Jackson. Ever since this guy has came into the starting lineup, it's just brought a different element to the Ravens offense. And he was named the AFC Rookie of the Month for December. And he can do it with his legs, especially. One of the most highly touted quarterbacks we've seen on the ground since Michael Vick. And he's getting it done in the air, too. Not really making that many mistakes. 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, nothing really popping out there. Only 1,200 yards and albeit a limited amount of play. But I'm excited to see him go against LA again, and he's just been great for the Ravens and should be a great game.
Yeah, if I could just talk about LA for a second. One thing I think they're going to need to do in this game is establish the run game.
Yep.
It's a tough Ravens defense. You could say that all day long. You could talk about the Ravens' defense. It's really a great defense, but you got to run the ball against them. You have to find a way to get Melvin Gordon going. He's one of the best running backs in the league. He's a Pro Bowler this year, and you need to find a way to make that work so you could open up the passing game in all different kinds of ways. Get Phillip Rivers out to Keenan Allen. He likes throwing the deep balls to Tyrell Williams. Throws it up to Mike Williams all the time. You have to find a way to get Melvin Gordon involved to open up that offense. If they could do that, I think they'll be okay in this one.
Yeah, although Phillip Rivers has maybe fallen off as an MVP candidate due to his recent struggles in the last few weeks, he could figure it out. He's got to play well, and I agree with you there. The run game, Melvin Gordon's got to get involved. Even Austin Eckler, some screen passes, get him involved, and try and move that Baltimore defense around, get them a little bit discombobulated. Another factor, very interesting here, Baltimore is tied for fifth in the league. They're 45% on third down. If LA can force Baltimore off the field on third down, get Lamar Jackson off of the field and get Phillip Rivers back on there, I think that they've got a shot. The longer that you can keep that Baltimore defense out on the field and keep Lamar Jackson off the field, I think LA could have a nice time. Even if they move the ball down, use up a lot of time, win clock management, and just kick field goals and keep Lamar off the field, I think they've got a shot in this one. But Baltimore, their crowd, you know, they get into it, beat the Steelers out for the AFC North championship. On a game where their defense came up big, C.J. Mosley with the pick of Baker Mayfield. Baltimore could make a run. People are saying that they could be the dark horse here. Defense wins championships, and we'll see what goes on. But I think L.A.'s got a shot. Got to keep Lamar Jackson off the field and got to pressure that Baltimore defense. So that's the first game on Sunday, 1:05 start. 4:40 start is Philly and Chicago. Interesting game here. Carson Wentz not going to play for the rest of the year. Nick Foles starting a quarterback. And it's around that time where Nick Foles and the magic comes back for Philly. And it's got a different vibe this year. But I can't count this guy, Nick Foles, out. He's just magical. He figures out ways to win. But Chicago, my pick. Actually, you know what? We'll get into the Super Bowl picks after. But one of my leading picks to win that Super Bowl, due to their defense and Trubisky's ability to control the game, should be a really interesting one. Chicago at home, a little bit not as talented of a team as last year for Philly, but they could sneak this one out.
Yeah, everyone's saying it's an offense league, right? All the passing games, all the special offenses that all these teams have. But we keep talking every single game that we've talked about so far, we've talked about a defense, because in this one now we're going to talk about Chicago. I mean, I just said the Ravens have the best defense in the league. Maybe it's Chicago. Maybe they have the best defense in the league. Who knows? They do it all in the Chicago defense. They have the interception leader in Kyle Fuller in the league. They obviously rush the passer. I mean, what's his name? Khalil Mack. The guy gets to the quarterback every single play. He's an absolute beast on that defense. And then they do a little stuff on offense. You know, with Matt Nagy in there, they do find ways to be very creative on offense. So I think I'm going to keep it simple. I think the Eagles' magic runs out here. I think the Bears are going to beat them in this one.
This, to me, is the most intriguing game of the weekend, because you have a guy like Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP, comes in week 16 against Houston, win or go home, puts up 471 yards and 4 touchdowns, and the next week he goes into Washington. They got to win that game too, and he just decides he can complete 25 throws in a row because he wants to. I mean, he has been unreal. The Eagles' offense, for whatever reason, is much better with him in there than Carson Wentz. You got the Eagles defense, obviously the secondary, you know, has been torn apart all season. The one guy who has stood strong back there for the Eagles is Malcolm Jenkins. He's been pretty good. And you look at the Eagles, like Brian said, you do think the magic will run out eventually and you think it'll be Sunday. I'm really not ready to make a pick on this game yet, because I just think it's going to be an unreal game. And I really don't know what to say. I think it's going to be a great game. The Bears crowd at home will be unbelievable, and the Eagles, obviously one of the hottest teams in the league. And just one thing to say about Nick Foles, I don't know if you saw this or not, he needed to play 33% of the snaps this season to get $1 million bonus. He was 4 snaps short.
Mm-hmm. And he got hurt in the last game, so he missed the 4 snaps and lost out on $1 million.
You know what? I don't know. Maybe they should give it to him.
The Yankees pay CC that
exactly.
Bonus.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe they will, honestly. Maybe they will. The guy won them a Super Bowl and he got them back into the playoffs. Ben, you didn't mention the game before Houston, the must-win game, against the Los Angeles Rams, where they beat them.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the best team in the league.
Well, they kicked the you-know-what out of them, too.
Yeah, I know.
That game was never close.
Absolute pounding.
That's what Nick Foles has done. But I think it has to run out at some point, and I think the Bears are going to snuff it out.
Yeah, so Philly's won 3 straight. Chicago has won 4 straight. Chicago's 7-1 at home this year. Their defense the best in the league. If Philly has a shot here, it's got to be on the back of Zach Ertz. And Alshon Jeffrey's got to be a threat at the wide receiver position. He's got to be a beast. He emerges at this time in the playoffs. Was big in that Super Bowl win against New England. Had that huge catch in the end zone. But Nick Foles just has to control the offense, has to move the ball down. Similar to what L.A. has to do. L.A. has the ability to be a high-power offense where Philadelphia really lacks the weapons, especially with their backup quarterback in there. But if Foles can manage the game, work the ball down the field, keep Chicago's defense out there, and take 3, maybe even sneak their way into the end zone, I think if they can control the clock, they've got a shot. But Chicago's my pick to win the Super Bowl. So,
do you want to do Super Bowl picks? I kind of do.
Yeah, so I think that they'll get that done. So 4 games this weekend, all of them really great. I mean, we had a couple bad slates this year in the NFL, a couple bad weeks of football.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're talking wild card weekend, these are the 4 of the best games that you could have imagined at that spot. All talented teams looking to make a run far, deeper into the playoffs. So we can make Super Bowl picks right now.
I would love to.
Right before wild card weekend, let's say who we're going to take. Ben, you have a look on your face.
I'll go last.
I don't know.
You look at the AFC, and it's just absolutely wide open. I'm not picking the Chiefs because I just don't think their defense is good enough to win a championship. I don't want to pick the Patriots because I just don't think they're all that good this year, but I'm not doubting Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You look at the other teams within the league. I think if the Ravens can beat the Chargers, they have the ability to go into New England or Kansas City, beat one of those teams, and then win the AFC championship. But I'm really not sure. I don't like the fact that a rookie quarterback winning 3 games and then going to the Super Bowl. I just don't see it happening. So I think I'm just going to stick with old reliable here out of the AFC. I'm going with the Pats. I really am not confident in this pick at all, but I think somehow, some way, they will find a way to make the Super Bowl. And out of the NFC, this may be even tougher for me. I'm just going Rams. I haven't even thought about this pick before because I'm just excited to watch all these games. But I think I'm going to go Rams over the Pats in the Super Bowl. I think Goff gets it going and Sean McVay somehow wins. Or not somehow wins. He's got a great team. Finds a way to win the Super Bowl, winning 3 games, 2 or 1 at home, and then potentially that NFC championship in New Orleans, a rematch, would be an unreal game. And I got the Rams over the Pats. Not confident in this at all, but just my quick analysis here.
So in the AFC for me, it is hard to go against the Patriots, but I will never actually go out and pick them. Even this year when a lot of people aren't picking them and every year everyone's picking them, you know what? I can't. I'm not going to do it. No Patriots in the AFC. I think that the best team in the AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't think that they have what it takes, like you said, Ben, with their defense to make it all the way through these playoffs. I think a team needs to be well-rounded to make the Super Bowl, and I think they need to have some kind of firepower on offense that's going to get it done. I think that's the Houston Texans out of the AFC. I think Deshaun Watson's going to be able to run the ball, throw the ball in the in these playoffs. I think this home game against the Colts, I think they're going to handle them. I think and they'll come out with the win. DeAndre Hopkins, too much. I think he's going to have incredible playoffs, and they do have a great defense over in Houston. So I think they'll make their way through the AFC. It's going to be a bunch of close games, but I think they'll get it done. And in the NFC, I do agree with you, Ben. I think the Rams are going to make it to the Super Bowl. They are, in my opinion, the best team in the league. All season long, I thought so. Even when they lost to the Saints, I still thought they were better than the Saints. I think they'll recapture that offensive magic that they had around the middle of the season and the earlier part of the season in these playoffs. And I think they're going to steam through these first few weeks of the playoffs. When they get to the Saints, I think, in the NFC Championship game, I think you're going to be looking at a classic. I think that's going to be an excellent game. But I do think the Rams are going to pull out a win there, and I think they're going to pull out a win in the Super Bowl also. They're my team here in the playoffs.
Yeah, so for me in the AFC, it's really tricky. Kansas City looked like the sure favorite, the guys that were going to look and win that Super Bowl early on in the year. Their firepower on offense, they struggled on defense, but it didn't really matter because they just outscored everybody. But then they came back down to earth. Mahomes has still been a beast. Their offense is electric. But I think you need a defense to win a Super Bowl. New England's been shaky, and you know what? I think this is the year that Tom Brady's not going to do it. I don't think he's even going to get to the Super Bowl, people continue to say, and how can you not? We said it last year. We've said it on the two years previous on the podcast. We've said, how can you go against Brady? I don't really know how I'm doing it, but I have to. He hasn't looked that sharp. Houston, to me, they're up and down. Deshaun Watson gets it done. Their offensive line's a little bit shaky. He's running around back there. So I don't see them getting there. I like what you said about their defense. They are very well-rounded, but it will be interesting to see. Baltimore, I mean, their defense can win it. That's really it. Their defense would have to carry them. But I'm looking here. I'm looking at the L.A. Chargers. I think that they're going to the Super Bowl. I don't know why. They're good on the road. They're a wild card team, and they can play in a tough environment. They can get it done. Phillip Rivers, I think he's done. He's ready to go. He's done with losing. And their team is probably the best team in the AFC if you look at all aspects of their game. Offensively, Phillip Rivers is a beast. They've got great weapons. Defensively, really talented as well. So I think that they're my pick out of the AFC. But look out for Indianapolis. I don't know what it is. I see the look in Andrew Luck's eyes. I love the way he's playing. Their defense is young, athletic, pretty solid. So Indianapolis could make a run, but I like LA out of the AFC. For the NFC, this is a tricky one. Not going with the Rams. Don't like their offensive line. Don't think they can get it done. Dallas, not talented enough, although their defense has really been very solid. I don't know. Dak Prescott, don't think he'll get it done. New Orleans is the one that's tricky. I saw a stat. Drew Brees had the same exact record when he won the Super Bowl, lost the same exact teams.
I did see that as well.
Yeah,
which is really crazy.
Yeah, it was honestly creepy.
It was weird.
They were both the one seed. They both lost to the Bucks, the Panthers, and
was it the? It wasn't the Giants. No, it was somebody.
Who the Saints lose to?
Let's check schedule. They lost to the Bucks. They lost to the Cardinals.
Oh, that's preseason.
Sorry, they lost to the Bucks. The Cowboys and the Panthers.
That was it. Those are the three losses that they had in both in their Super Bowl win and this year, which was it was honestly freaky seeing that stat.
Yeah. But
anyway,
I'm going to go. Yeah. So it's tough to go against Drew Brees, especially after looking at that weird little stat. But I'm loving Chicago right now. I don't know. I like their offense. Think Trubisky's legit. Their defense is probably the best in the league, maybe better than Baltimore. They're just playing. They're playing good football. Trubisky can manage the offense. They've got weapons, two good running backs out of the backfield. Their wide receivers have figured it out. I don't know. I just like Chicago here. Think that their defense can carry them to a Super Bowl, and it would be L.A. and Chicago in that Super Bowl. But similar to Indianapolis in the AFC, I see Seattle as another team that is a dark horse team. You know, if they can get past this wild card weekend, they've got the formula, you know. They're pretty solid defensively. They run the football. They let the clock keep going. They manage the game. They know how to manage the clock. And I think that's big in the playoffs. If you can manipulate another team and make them play your style, I think they could make a run. But I'm loving Chicago Bears and the L.A. Chargers in the Super Bowl. And I've got – I'm not even going to make my – I don't want to – did we say who we thought was going to win?
I said the Rams. But
I said the Rams. Too.
Yeah.
This one's tough. Sorry, Jesse. I'm going to have to go with the Bears. I think the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl. And that's just my thought. I could be completely wrong.
Of course.
But to me, it's honestly, just a prediction.
Honestly, to me, the Bears remind me of the Rams last year. You know, they just got the new
head
coach.
They're one step away?
They just got the new head coach. They just got their quarterback going a year after he was drafted. It just – the parallels are – there are a lot of them with
Khalil
those two
Mack,
teams.
Aaron Donald.
You know, they have a similar formulas, honestly. The Bears have a better defense at this point, I think, but they remind me of them, and I think they'll end up handling the Eagles, but I don't think they'll be able to win in Los Angeles later.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, my turn. Obviously, I don't really know what I'm talking about here. But,
we'll take the Mets over the
I'm gonna go for the Chiefs and the Cowboys. I feel like the Cowboys have been a little bit running under the radar. Doug said that they have a good defense, and like you guys said, that you need a defense to win the Super Bowl this year, like he thinks. So honestly, I don't think the Cowboys are gonna win the Super Bowl, but I think that it's gonna be Chiefs Cowboys, and I think the Chiefs are gonna walk away with it. I don't really know anything, so I could just be completely incorrect. But you know what? I might have a feeling about this, and you never know. I might be right.
It's not crazy. Cowboys home against Seattle, always great at home, and then if chalk stays, they'd be going to New Orleans in a potential rematch.
Right.
No, the Cowboys would go to the Cowboys would go to the
reseed. They reseed.
Oh yeah, right, right. Sorry.
They reseed here.
Yeah, right. If they keep going, then it would be the. Yeah.
One thing I do have to say, though, Doug, you brought up the fact that all the wild card teams have a shot here. And
all 12 teams have a shot.
Especially in the 100%. AFC. I love that. I mean, I think that that is the case more this year than any other year because the Patriots don't look that good. You know, the Patriots have – Tom Brady has not been that sharp this year. Their defense is flawed. Their offense isn't running as smoothly, especially without Josh Gordon. I don't think that they have it this year, and I really think that all four of those teams playing this weekend, I think it's going to be one of those four teams. That makes it the Super Bowl. I say the Texans. It could just as easily be the Colts. It could just as easily be the Ravens. It could just as easily be the Chargers. Those I think are the four teams that have the best shot in the AFC. Yeah,
I think it's you go, Ben.
The AFC couldn't be more wide open, and I think, like you said, part of it has to do with the Patriots, and part of it has to do with the consensus best team in the AFC. It doesn't really have a respectable championship caliber defense. And that's just all I had to say about that. Mike, you can go ahead.
I think it's interesting, like you said, Brian, that, you know, all the wild card teams are in it. You don't really see that in any sport, you know. And I remember last year we talked about it. We looked at the wild card teams saying, you know, these guys really don't have a chance no matter who wins. I remember we were – I don't remember really who was in it.
Right, it was the Titans.
Yeah,
the Titans won their wild card game. We were like, all right, who cares? Now they're playing the Patriots.
Yeah, you guys were talking about last year how, you know, nobody in the wild card was going to win. So I think that's interesting this year that they all have a shot. And that definitely proves for a more consistently strong postseason that you don't have to really say, you know, one matchup's going to be worse than another. You know, they're all really going to be intense.
That's why this weekend's going
to
be great.
Yeah, there's a lot of good storylines to root for, too, when it comes to who's going to win the Super Bowl. Philip Rivers hasn't even been to the Super Bowl, trying to get that first ring late in his career. You got Lamar Jackson, a guy people wanted to play wide receiver, going to the draft, proving everyone wrong. He's going to be a quarterback for a long time in this league, I think. And you got the Chiefs, Andy Reid, the postseason.
Has been his kryptonite.
Has been his kryptonite, exactly. That's the word I was looking for. And you can go through them. Nick Foles in the NFC. There's just a ton of storylines to watch.
And the two Giants in the NFC. You know, the two best teams in the NFC in the NFL are probably in the NFC. You know, with the Rams and the Saints. Those are the two favorites to the Super Bowl. So there's the two Giants in the NFC, and a lot of people are counting out the Chiefs because of their postseason history. So this playoffs, it should be great.
Yeah, another thing that also opens some stuff up on that AFC. No Pittsburgh Steelers this year. You know, those wild card teams similar to Indianapolis, those guys have a shot. And I think the absence of the Steelers this year really opens up a lot of availability in that playoff hunt to move on to the next round. So, yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed with that.
We may be looking at that for the next few years, too.
Yeah.
Killer Bees breaking up. It's looking rough in Pittsburgh right now.
Boswell's gone.
Boswell's gone. What are the Steelers now?
You know what? McCrane, guy was electric.
He looked good.
Won us the game.
Yeah, he did look good.
Good for that guy, you know?
Yeah. Gets it done.
Pull him right off the greens and put him in a jersey. Go kick us three field goals and win us the game. What a beast. All right, let's talk college football. 1-4, 2-3. I mean, 1-4, Alabama takes care of Kyler Murray. We pretty much expected that one. Good effort by Murray. Don't know what his future looks like. Will he go to the draft? Will he go to the MLB? Really good player. Heisman winner.
Yeah. You can go one way. You can go the other. You can't
Great
lose
story.
Here.
Great okay. story. But let's talk a little bit about this Alabama game. They really dominated early in that first quarter. They scored three touchdowns. They were up four touchdowns at one point before Oklahoma.
They were up 28-0.
Yeah, they could put their first points up on the board. And then Alabama just took care of them.
Yeah, the game never really felt close, although it was within 11 a couple times in the fourth quarter. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa, this guy really had a statement game. And he said after the game when asked about his ankle, the lingering ankle injury, he said it wasn't even 100%. He was playing hurt.
I love how honest he is.
Yeah, very honest.
I mean, I don't know if I love it or if I'm just like weirded out by it because there's no way it lasts, you know? If he goes to the NFL, he's not going to be saying, oh, yeah, my ankle's 60% right now. It's doing okay. You know, the things like that, you don't hear it. I wonder when that's going to get snuffed out of him.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But
go back to what you're talking
about. He looked great. Only three incompletions. All were classified as drops, so a remarkable game from him. Really statement. You look at the Bama running backs. You got that three-headed monster with Jacobs, Damian Harris, and Najee Harris. This guy, Josh Jacobs, know the name because he'll be one of the first running backs taken in the NFL draft this year. He was only a three-star guy coming out of high school, if I'm correct, and he's just been unreal for that Bama offense, and he's going to be a pretty good back in the NFL if, you know, my eyes for talent prove true.
Yeah, but you're a pretty good evaluator of talent.
We'll see.
At college
and
level.
Kyler Murray, I think Bama just sent him straight to spring training with the Oakland Athletics. We'll see what happens. I mean, if he goes to the NFL, he'll be a first-round pick, one of the top QBs taken, if not the top QB taken. He'll really be an interesting prospect. But the news was that he's going to report to spring training about a month or two ago. They said that he still hasn't made a decision on the NFL, but I'm thinking he's playing baseball. But what do I know? I don't know the guy personally.
Is he a freshman?
Kyler Murray?
Yeah. Would he go to the draft this year?
No. He's a junior in college.
He is. Okay.
He was at Texas A&M, and then he transferred to Oklahoma.
One quarterback that definitely will be in the NFL in the next few years, Trevor Lawrence over in Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
He looked amazing in that game against Notre Dame. I've never personally seen the guy play on TV or anything like that. I never actually got to watch him until this game. I didn't know much about Clemson or Notre Dame going to this game. Felt like I knew everything about Bama and Oklahoma. Like, I always see all the Tua Tagovailoa and Kyler Murray and everything. But these two teams, I kind of never really heard about, which is weird because they were both undefeated. But Clemson looked amazing here. I mean, they were without, apparently, one of their top defensive linemen, Dexter Lawrence. He also will not be playing in the national championship. I just got that alert before. But they still looked fine. I mean, they held this Notre Dame offense that was supposedly pretty great to 3 points. They won 30-3 in this game. So I really think that Clemson's got a shot here. I think they do what Alabama does. They're both great college football teams that are going to have a lot of NFL talent. We're going to see a lot of these guys playing on Sundays. And just, I think Trevor Lawrence, if he can work his way across the field on this amazing Alabama defense, I think that Clemson's got a chance here.
Yeah, early on, this game seemed tight. Tied at 3 through that first quarter, and then Clemson just pulled away. 2 touchdowns to Justin Ross, 1 to T. Higgins, and all of a sudden, Clemson just ran away with it, won it 30-3. And now we move into Monday.
There's some great names there.
Yeah, there are some
T. Higgins, and then Travis Etienne. Love that name.
Very good.
Great running back there. You know, we'll see him in the draft, too.
He's a solid. He started for my college fantasy team this year.
Is Justin Ross related to...
John Ross?
John Ross?
I don't know.
I'll get back to you on that in a sec.
Justin Ross is a freshman, and what's his name? Trevor Lawrence is also a freshman. They were throwing, he was throwing BBs all day to Justin Ross in that game, and both guys were on, and it's just crazy to see these guys. Imagine 3 years from now when they're draft prospects.
Unbelievable.
I love it.
So Monday is the college football championship game. Clemson, Alabama. Seems like they're always at the top of the college football chain, always playing for this national championship. And it almost doesn't get better than this. The two best teams in college football.
It's the Clemson,
rubber match. Dabo Sweeney, Alabama, Nick Saban, two Hall of Fame coaches, two teams with the most talent in college football. Guys will be drafted all over the place in that NFL draft from these teams. And it's at Levi Stadium in California. Should be some good weather for that one. And both teams, it's really a toss-up. Who do you got here? I don't really – what are you thinking?
I'm not going to be on record going against Alabama
this
season. You'll never see that. So my official prediction is going to be Alabama. But I do not count out Clemson. This game is going to be great. Alabama's only favored by 6 points. I say only because they're favored by double digits every other game this season. So they're only favored by 6 points. I wouldn't be surprised to see this be an extremely close game. And in close games, with Dabo Sweeney at the helm for Clemson, you never know. So it could be a toss up, but I'm going to stick with Alabama here.
Yeah, I got Bama by a touchdown here. I think it's just going to be too much for Clemson, especially with that Dexter Lawrence to overcome. Alabama is obviously a different animal than Notre Dame. That offense is just electric, and Alabama's defense is always one of the best in the nation. I got Bama by, we'll go about a touchdown here, give or take a few points.
You know what? This is exactly what you want to see out of the college football playoff. Two best teams in there, great talent, and it's what's a better way to start off your week than the college football championship Monday night, 8 o'clock? Should be really good. Ryan Dixon, do you have a prediction on this game?
I believe Alabama's going to take this one, but actually by 2 touchdowns, I think. They're really looking like a solid team, like easily one of the best teams in NCAA football. And I feel like Trevor Lawrence and the boys won't be able to stop them.
Ben, I feel like you did that just to one-up you, but that's okay.
You know what? Ryan Dixon's bringing great insight.
I've given my analysis. I just wanted to give.
I trust you more though. You're the college guy.
Okay, so tune in Monday, college football championship game. That wraps up our show sports wise. Mikey, I know we've got topic of the week coming up, so let's get right into this great segment on our show.
So before we get into the topic of the week, just want to let you guys know about the upcoming new year. We've got three new podcasts we're going to be throwing out here. It's going to be really cool. Brian, this is probably the first you're hearing about
this. Yeah, it actually is. I'm very excited about this.
The thing is, sadly, you're not going to be able to be on them because they're during the day.
It's the seventh period ones?
Yeah.
All right.
We wish you could be involved, but you know what? You didn't choose film, so it's okay.
Yep. business law.
So we're going to be doing three new shows on Mondays. We're going to be doing the Conspiracy Cast, which is going to be where we're just going to talk about a lot of conspiracy theories. Every week we're going to try and come up with just a few and talk about them. You know, we can talk endlessly about them. Me and Ben talked about it a few weeks ago. We talked all period just about a boatload of conspiracy theories, and it's a lot of fun.
Our good friend Liam Parrish is involved in there too.
Yeah, maybe we can get him on.
Friend of the program. He's got seventh period off. Maybe we can get him in here for
Definitely.
We should throw him
in.
Does
he actually have seventh off?
He does. Yeah.
That's perfect. Get that kid on the microphone.
He probably sits in the library.
He sits right there every day. I'm looking at his chair right now.
I was gonna ask him if he wanted to do it today, but I didn't know if you guys would approve, so I'm glad that you do. So
the Monday show conspiracy.
And then
cast.
Every other Tuesday, starting this Tuesday, me and Ben are going to be doing the MLB whip around. That's going to be fun. We're going to talk about MLB. I'm going to get my little MLB fix every week because, you know, the podcast doesn't just do it for me. I get to rant about MLB.
Hey,
and
if Manny Machado is not signed by Tuesday, it won't be a good show.
It'll be
a great show anyways.
By the way, MLB
news. I'll be pretty hype if we sign him.
MLB news, David Robertson, 2-year, $23 million to the Phillies. Great guy, great pitcher. Good luck in Philly.
Britain's getting closer to the Yankees for 3 years. That's a
whoa!
That's no way.
Possibility.
Where'd you see that?
Don't give me the fake
John
news.
John Heyman. No, it was Andy
Save
Martino.
Save it for the MLB cast.
Andy Martino said that Britain
We're
could settle for three
podcasts.
Guaranteed years, and the Yankees
Andy
are the
Martino,
leaders.
Andy Martino. Who is that?
SNY. All right.
Oh, he's legit.
Let's bring up the last podcast.
Gotta give him a follow.
And then the last podcast.
I heard about
on
the
Thursday.
First two. I didn't hear about this one.
So then Ben, you can introduce this one because.
Yeah. So Mike and I were coming up with ideas, and we were thinking of a third podcast, and this idea just came to me. I had like a little epiphany. It was like a light bulb popped above my head. And I was like, we got to do a what if podcast. So we're just going to go through about three to five, four, no idea. We'll go through a bunch of scenarios each week.
Sports.
Of what if scenarios in sports. So.
And maybe some out. We might do like one or two out of sports, you know, that could just be relevant to the world.
Of course, of course. It's going to be a mainly sports based show. So. We'll give you an example here.
No, don't. Let's not give any real one.
We don't want to give any examples. I think you guys can get the point. It's what if this didn't happen in sports? What if this did happen in sports? How would it change the world today? How would it change the sports landscape? And I'm really excited because there's just endless possibilities for that one.
Yeah, for a broader example, what if this player never went to this team? Something along those lines. What if this didn't happen in sports? So that's what we're going with on Thursday, seventh period.
I'm gonna have to miss business law sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta
come. I'll be up here. Good for some of these.
Also,
definitely.
By the way, as we know, the fantasy football breakdown is over.
R.I.P.
We'd like to thank everyone.
Hopefully
for
not
listening
forever.
To me, hopefully not forever. Ryan, hopefully he'll carry the throne a couple years, maybe next year. And we just want to thank everyone for listening to Doug and I, and of course Mike, our producer, throughout the whole year. We're ready to bring you some new content, and hopefully the show lives on in the future.
Yeah, so we've got a great schedule coming up. Let's finish this one off with our topic of the week. And Mike, what do you got?
Three interesting ones. The first one is, what is a big pet peeve of yours? I don't really want to go first because I don't really know person perfectly yet, but you guys can. Ben, you seem like you have one, so why don't you know? All right, so let's start it off. All right.
When people say versing, like Mets versus Yankees, that's fine. The Mets versed the Yankees yesterday, that's not
or
fine.
Are versing them, yeah.
Or the Mets are versing the Yankees later, I don't know, it just ticks me off, hate that. you can't say the word verse.
I got it.
In the wrong tense.
Yeah, I agree, and that's a big one of mine, too. I'm going to go. I'm surprised you didn't say the scratching of the agenda book.
I hate that. That's my least favorite thing of all time.
That's not a pet peeve. That makes me crumble.
And I was going to say, really just announcers who don't know what they're talking about. Guys who either have A, horrible grammar, or B, are just straight up wrong.
Just don't speak properly. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's just hard to listen to.
And you know what?
But you don't really see a lot of those. There's a lot of great announcers in the game, and I love watching sports. So I'm a little picky, but
unless you're Jessica Mendoza.
You know what? We're also analyze the announcers because we know we broadcast as well, and I like to pick pick apart these guys. But at least if you make a mistake, correct yourself. You know, I don't want don't just keep going. Correct yourself. Figure out what you did wrong. My pet peeve, I have two. One, when people are just messy. It doesn't make sense to me. How can you be unorganized? It really doesn't make any sense. And when people touch my stuff, that's number two. You have being messy,
that's true.
Unorganized.
You always have been a problem about
and
that.
When people touch my stuff, I can't deal with it. It just really bothers me.
All right, so Mike, before you move on to the next question, I just want to bring up something quick. I saw over break on January 1st, New Year's Day that night, the Sugar Bowl was on, and Georgia punter Jake Camarda was ruled down because he caught a snap and his knee hit the ground. And the first thing I thought of was when we were announcing
Gerald.
That game. I don't exactly remember who we were playing, but Gerald was punting, his knee hit the ground. The refs
we were out in the cold.
Stayville. The refs clearly missed that game. Yeah, I think so. The refs clearly missed that call, and it just brought me flashbacks to that moment.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I literally turned to my dad right after they showed the replay of his knee down, and I go, Ben Dixon knew that right away. I'm like, Ben called that live. He called that live on the broadcast, and I go, what are you even talking about? He goes, if the guy's knee is down when he's punting, that's where the ball's placed.
It's the same thing as if a receiver in high school and college catches it and falls down after. You can't get back up and run. It's the same exact thing.
Unbelievable.
Your knee's down, you're down.
One more pet peeve, when you hold the door open for somebody, they don't say thank you.
That's ridiculous.
That's a good one,
that
too.
That is ridiculous. That's not a pet peeve. That's
just,
poor manners.
That's just being a terrible
and
human being.
You're raised horribly.
You are a horrible person, and you need to go to manners training. So my pet peeve is actually when people pronounce words wrong. Like, my dad, he's, like, so perfect with everything. Like, he says buried, and he says a lot of weird words wrong. So when you say a word that I think is right and you say it wrong, like, in my head, it's just like, okay, I can't listen to you speak. It's really aggravating. I don't know how.
What about names? Do you have a tough time with last names that are pronounced wrong?
Well, like,
we do on live broadcasts. Wrong.
Well, I mean, like, everybody's pronounced.
Alfonso St. John?
Exactly. We've had a tough
time. Who knows that?
Some of these names are difficult, and we don't have.
We don't have the resources, the little dashes.
Exactly. We're working with what we've got.
Well, I mean, personally, nobody's pronounced my name right the entire time that I've been in school.
Mike Garafa.
It's Garafa. It's not Garafa, but everyone calls me that, and I'm not going to tell you.
I was not informed of that.
I said it. Remember last year in Italian, I had the presentation, and I said it, and everybody was like, what, since when? And I'm like, well, just nobody's, I've never corrected anybody because I don't really care.
Oops.
But, I mean, that doesn't bother me. Over time, I've just gotten used to it, so, like, I don't really care. But
I hate when people add the little I-N or E-R in the middle of my name. Like, I've been called Dickerson. just read the name, man. There's no I-N. There's no E-R.
Also,
it's not that hard.
I hate when people spell Michael E-A-L. I'm like, first of all.
Oh, it confuses me sometimes.
I know. But
I have to double-check every
be...
time. I'm like, but I never actually spell it, like, E-A-L and send that to a Michael.
Yeah.
But, like. Every time I'm typing Michael, I'll be like, is it A or E?
It's A-E. It goes in chronological order, A to E. A's first, so A's first.
Thank
but,
you.
Like, as a Michael, that's like, I'm like, what, do you not know how to spell? But, like, for people that don't have the name, I mean, obviously, I understand. So we want to move on to the next question. It is, what song do you think is incredibly overplayed? There's definitely a
every,
lot of them.
Every pop song that's popular.
That's true.
I got it. Mo Bamba. 100% Mo Bamba. That song was out. Maybe 5 months ago, and people are right now just like, oh, let's play Mo Bamba, let's get hype. Like it was out 5 months ago. You don't need to play it anymore.
It's a hype song.
That's actually a great call.
It's a hype song.
That was pretty good.
It is a hype song. Ben, I know I'm going to hurt your feelings a little bit here, but I think a lot of Drake songs are very overplayed because I feel like they're good for like
in my
a week.
Feelings.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah.
I got one.
Right. Like they play it. They'll play every Drake song like over and over again for a week, and then you're just like, all right, this is just annoying, and I don't want to listen to this anymore. But another good one. Was like a few years ago, like every time you turn on the radio, you hear Taylor Swift like all the time. That used to bother me. Like you turn on the radio trying to listen to something and it's like Taylor Swift on every single channel. We've got like oldies, future rap. It's just Taylor Swift. I'm like, first of all, the song's not even good anymore. And you're just playing it 5 years later after it's relevant. So it's just, you know, songs can be annoying sometimes.
Yeah, mine is God's Plan from Drake. That song was decent when it came out.
It was.
And then it got played so much. To the point where it was like every time I heard it, I would want to rip my ears out because like, oh my god, I can't keep hearing this thing. It was so annoying. That song was okay. You know, I love Drake. He's got a bunch of great tunes out there, but God's Plan, I hate it now. Can't listen to it.
He's got some slaps out there, and
he's got more slaps than the Beatles.
Of course, and I'm gonna go here. Not necessarily overplayed now, but it was. This guy Ed Sheeran will never make it because they just play his songs Actually, he's made it. What am I saying? They play his songs 30 times an hour on the radio. Remember that song Perfect by Ed Sheeran?
It still plays all the time.
It's a good song. I don't need to hear it 15 times in 30 minutes. If that's even possible, but I'm just
we're
saying.
Definitely offending a lot of girls.
Ed Sheeran, great talent. I don't need to hear his songs twice an hour.
Fair enough. Every top back that every top pop song is overplayed. It's just how it is. Right now, it's Ariana Grande. She's all over.
Thank you, all over the radio.
Thank You Next is very overplayed. She's got a lot of songs out there now, but.
She was good and relevant, and then she went away, and now she's back again. And people are like, oh, my God, Ariana Grande's back, and she's still doing good. And
What? A guy who just doesn't go away, Post Malone.
But he's not bad, though.
You know what? That guy's electric. Just comes out with solid music.
I think he's overhyped.
Constantly. No, I agree. He's got a good voice. His songs
are catchy. He's uglier than Sin.
Oh, wow. He's very ugly. Very unattractive, and it's almost disgusting where you can't listen to
his
music.
That's why you can't watch the music videos, because you're going to vomit when you're listening.
It's very bad. I think his music's great, very catchy, and he just keeps on coming out with great material. Sunflower, pretty solid song out there now.
He's got some
from the Spider-Man movie, actually.
Definitely has some slaps.
Yeah, the Spider-Man movie's got a lot of
good
songs.
Enough with the slaps, okay? Can you speak English?
I don't even know what that is.
Ben started.
All right, can we move on from the slaps, please?
All right, this one going back to our food topic. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food? I'm going for the classic. I'm sure probably a lot of you really enjoy this. So sweet potatoes with marshmallows. I don't think you can really top it. Sweet potatoes with a little bit of browned marshmallows on top. Just it's the best. And then my mom makes a really killer corn souffle. It's fantastic. And you know what? Thanksgiving, it's an amazing holiday. And I even had some last night before our basketball game. It was a lot of fun.
I think it's disappointing.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's overrated food in my opinion.
Oh, you guys are crazy.
Nah, I'm just going to go with turkey here. My mom makes some great stuff, but you're not having Thanksgiving turkey more than once a year. So when it gets on there, you get that nice bowl of gravy on there. It's pretty solid stuff.
You know what? One thing you're not having more than once a year is stuffing, and you have it on Thanksgiving. It's absolutely electric. I love stuffing.
I don't really like stuffing.
All right, cool.
But it's you. But you
I love stuffing.
My favorite
Thanksgiving food.
I have to say it's probably my grandma's heart attack mashed potatoes.
Oh,
she's got about
heart attack.
She's got about 2 to 3 sticks of butter in there.
You had me scared
just,
there, dog.
She's just lathering it up with butter. It's almost just very unhealthy. But very good. There could be some bacon in there. I'm not really sure.
I'm sure there is a little bit of cheese.
It's very, very solid. Probably my favorite thing there. Turkey's usually good, but other than that, disappointing. Not a great holiday for food. I take Christmas food over Thanksgiving.
No, Christmas food is just like good food. You know, like that's
what
well,
is
like
Christmas
adding?
Food?
It's like ham.
Okay. No, you can do steak.
I wouldn't call it chicken.
I wouldn't call that
like Christmas food. I call that like family gathering food. You know, it's just because the family's all together at Christmas.
There's no like designated Christmas food except for like church
only,
hosts
Thanksgiving,
and wine.
Thanksgiving and St. Patty's
well,
Day.
Well, ham is supposed to be.
Well, yeah,
with food.
But
for the
by the way, Doug, you're really batting 1,000 with these like somewhat
you know who's batting 1,000
straight head. Like
J. Cole's batting 1,000 on his features. Sorry,
are we going back to slaps?
Wait, how am I batting 1,000?
Because like you said, my grandma's heart attack's really good, and Ben was so confused for a sec, and then like with a few weeks ago with your maybe.
My grandma's heart attack mashed potatoes.
I know, but what you said, grandma's
is that okay? Was that okay?
You said it right. I'm just saying.
No,
you
yeah,
said it
I just heard your grandma's heart attack first, and I was very concerned for you, Doug. But I'm glad she's all right.
I heard it as heart attack mashed potatoes, and any food with heart attack.
Absolutely.
By the way, thank you for your concern. My grandma's doing well. Shout out, grandma. Love you.
Does she listen?
I should get her to listen. Actually, she probably doesn't know how to work the phone. She doesn't know how to get to the podcast app. So that could be tricky.
Is that it?
Tough.
I mean, do we want it to be it?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Let's do
Why
one
not?
More. All right, this is actually a pretty good one. Do you think that there's a follow up to this one? Do you think that animals can understand what we're saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Like every word that we're saying without
not,
us
not
having
words, no, just based off of expression.
No, I mean like, do they understand? Like if we're saying like, well, hey, can you go in the corner?
Like, no, like we learned about this in psych. It was with the operant conditioning and the classical conditioning
Brian,
and stuff like that.
You know more than me, man.
what I'm saying is like we learned about it in psych, and like basically what it is, you got to train them the same way you could train humans the same way. You give them a chocolate after, well, not a chocolate for dogs, but like you give
a treat. Yeah,
you give a treat after they do something right. And you accompany that with saying like saying go to the corner, and then you give them a treat when they actually go to the corner. Every time you start saying go to the corner, they'll end up going to the corner because they expect a treat. So it is a kind of like they can't understand what we're saying word for word, but they understand hand gestures.
Yeah, they don't
like
understand
that.
Exactly like what the words mean. They just understand like if you do something, you're going to get rewarded.
Yeah, I believe that they understand what you're doing, your actions, and especially your tone, and probably the level and the volume of your voice. You know what I mean? If you're yelling, they know what's happening. If you're pointing here, if you're walking over here, you know, they start to pick up on things, because what else are they doing all day? My dog is probably laying around sleeping, but once there's
Rocky.
Human contact, there's very little that's going to go on. We're either taking him out, we're going to pet him, we're going to feed him or give him water or let him out in the backyard. You know that it's very simplistic life for these dogs, so they pick up on things and they sort of get into a routine. They definitely can't understand the words that we're saying, but I think that they can read our gestures, our volume, how we're speaking, and pick up on some kind of trends.
Yeah, funny thing. Every time I'm watching TV and the doorbell goes off on the TV, my dog goes nuts thinking there's someone at the door. So, I mean,
and anytime
they get trained.
Anytime someone walks in your house, your dog goes nuts also.
That's true.
So the follow-up is, do you think that animals actually have conversations with each other?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think they do.
Not different species of animals.
Yes. No, I think a dog can have a conversation with the dog.
Yeah, right.
I think they give it a few nice barks out there and then... And they're talking a bit.
Well, like my cats, like they like
tough.
They make this weird noise, like when they're like alone in like some room. No, it's a strange noise. I can't replicate it, but like it's as if they're talking to each other because they're not doing anything. You just hear these noises. You're like, what is that? You know, I feel like they definitely can. I feel like they talk about us and make fun of us behind our backs, and we just would never know because, you know what? They're trying to talk to us, and I'm waiting for the day when someone invents something where we can understand what the animals are saying. That'll be way years in the future, but that would be something really – that would be huge.
Yeah, like we know that dolphins communicate together, but I think if you put a dog and a cat together, I think that they wouldn't be able to talk to each other, but I think that it's similar to how humans interact with animals where they read the tendency of that animal. You know, if a dog is going to go sniff the cat. I don't really know how it's going to work. They work it out based on feeling and based on how they think the situation's going. I don't know if they actually talk to each other. That would be kind of cool.
Well, I think a good analogy for that is a human, let's say us, someone who lives in America, seeing a Chinese guy in China. You know what they're going to do, even if you can't communicate necessarily.
No, that's
brilliant.
True. We speak different languages.
I was going to say.
Maybe cats speak meow and dogs speak bark, you know?
Those are the separate dialects, and maybe they've got like little subdivisions of dialects.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right.
Sorry about the psych flex.
It's all good, man.
I mean, I had no idea what you were talking about.
But as always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano, and the administration, the Board of Education, and our audience listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside our always reliable producer, Mike Garaffa, Mikey Stats, Brian Flattow, Douglas Satuka, our special guest, Big Rye over there. And thank you for joining us. We will see you next week.